This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is today the day that the Miami Heat end the longest losing streak that the franchise has had since 2008, Channing Crowder? Is it today that the Heat can win a basketball game?
I hope so, because it's pretty embarrassing. People asking me about the Heat and what's going on, and this is sad. And it's, I hate that Spo's getting all this trouble about it. Don't blame this on Spo.
That seems to be the sentiment going around. Crowder, check if your microphone is connected here for a second. My bad. You know, I hate, because it's a great segue that you just brought us to right at the beginning of the show. But while you do that, I'll set everything up. I'm actually, Crowder, the Heat have lost so many games in a row, and they get the Detroit Pistons today, another national TV game. I don't know why. Friday's game is a national TV game here at the Kaseya Center. I figured I'd switch it up today, try to bring some better vibes to the Kaseya Center. So I'm out here right now. I'm going to do the show live 2 to 6 p.m. today. And you are where? You are in Nashville today?
Nashville, Tennessee. Clean. Am I better now? I sound better?
Yeah, you sound good.
Okay. I got my snowball plugged in now.
There you go. Yeah. And a bon voy. Look at you.
You see it. This is nice here, man.
Yeah.
I got the Nashville skyline behind me. We're pretty good.
You were in L.A. Monday, took the red eye, did the show yesterday, and then flew to Nashville, and you're connected. You are unbelievable. You do. You don't get enough credit. I'm not even joking. You do not get enough credit.
I appreciate it. After 4 years of doing this traveling, somebody gave me some respect. Salam, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, showing up is great and all. Maybe have your mic connected, but I'll commend you.
Well, I got in the room about 90 seconds ago. I ran. Then if you see, why do these hotels make it so hard to click into Wi-Fi? And they want to ask you your last name and your room. No, just give me the damn Wi-Fi. I already bought the room. Give me Wi-Fi, Marriott. I hate y'all. Yeah. Well, I really don't hate y'all. I love y'all. But, yeah, man, so it made I'm sorry. I apologize. But I think I need respect. Like Spo needs respect, because I've heard a lot of Spo hate, and now I'm hearing Spo hate on national TV, and I don't like it.
Yeah, well, I just think it comes to the territory. So, Crowder, it's funny you say that, because Barry Jackson had a really good article. I was going to get to it during 15 Minutes of Heat, but I'll indulge you with it now, or if you'll indulge me with it now. He wrote, blame personnel choices for Heat Dolphins position, but don't give pass to these others. So he's kind of analyzing where the Heat are at and where the Dolphins are at, and he's finding common ground between the two. And I highlighted here to kind of read into it, and he said at one point in this article, but to say that each team's problems are entirely talent and bad luck issues would be inaccurate in our view. The belief here is both teams are underachieving with the roster each coaching staff was given, and that non-front office share of the blame falls on both the players and the coaches. So in other words, hey man, there's no doubt about it that the players are underachieving a little bit, but there's also, and that the front office deserves some of the blame when you're doing it, you know, the blame pie chart, but there's also some blame that falls on the coaching staff. And I agree wholeheartedly, because when we're looking at the Dolphins situation, Crowder, we've been talking about it, right? Is it, you know, that the chef isn't being given the right ingredients, or that the chef is being given the ingredients and he's not cooking the right meal? And I think, you know, when it comes to the Heat and Coach Spo, man, Crowder, my biggest takeaway right now during this eight-game winning streak is that there has been no fight from this Heat team. I'm frustrated, but I also think, hey, man, when Andrew Wiggins was traded here, none of us thought, oh, this team is going to fall off the face of the earth. We were all kind of the opinion, like, they're not title contenders, but at the very least, they're going to compete for a 6 seed, for a 7 or 8 seed. And here you are, you're the 10 seed with 14 games remaining, and you're looking at being a lottery team. I mean, some blame has to fall on the head coach at some point, does it not?
No, but it's not. The blame cannot fall on the guy that's proven. If you give me a Joe Mazzulla, if you give me who's the Cavs head coach? Atkinson, the little weird-looking, yeah, thin-faced dude.
Yeah.
Kenny Atkinson is not a better coach than Eric Spoelstra. Kenny Atkinson has better pieces, and he can make a better – to your chef in the kitchen thing, he makes a better meal because he has filet mignon, and then you give Spo raccoon meat and you want him to make a beautiful meal. Spo has been a 5-star restaurant chef for multiple championships, and now he doesn't have the tools to do it. Like, that's the crazy thing to me. Take Andrew Wiggins, Bam, and Tyler Hero and have them compete with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And hell, the Boston Celtics, I watched the game last night. I left this morning. They won last night. They beat the Brooklyn Nets, which isn't a big feat, but they could win without their stars because they're deep. We're not deep. We don't have any time. We have no filet. We have asparagus. Make a good steak, and I'm only going to give you asparagus. How is that going to work? It's crazy. I've never been, you know, Salon, we've been on the show a long time together. I've never put my foot down on Spo, but now that I hear everybody criticizing Spo, it's getting to me like, this is Eric Spoelstra's fault when we can't score but 14 points in the fourth quarter? Because yeah, these damn dudes can't hit no shots? They're shooting the ball. Let Spo take a corner three. I want Spo to take a corner three if y'all going to blame this on him.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I'm with you, by the way. I'm not one of these guys saying this is 100% on Spo. But if I'm looking at the Dolphins situation, which is what I think Barry Jackson did in his article very well today, he's looking at the Dolphins situation and he's saying, hey, there's blame to go all around. Some of it is bad luck. Jalen Phillips, Bradley Chubb getting injured. Some of it is bad luck. That's fair to say. But you can't just put it all on one thing. Some of it is Mike McDaniel not being able to convert third and ones ever, giving it to damn Alec Ingold every single time and having the worst conversion rate over the past 3 years of his coaching tenure on short yardage gains. Some of it falls on Chris Greer for not picking the right guys, for constantly picking guys who are going to be hurt. Some of it falls on Tua Tagovailoa for putting his body on the line, knowing that this team, it revolves around him being on the field.
Yes.
Some of it, like you can go around and start saying, hey, not everything falls on Tua. Not everything falls on McDaniel, but everybody deserves a share of the blame. And I think, Crowder, you can do a similar thing here with the Heat post-Jimmy Butler trade. It does not mean that this all falls on Eric Spoelstra. That's ridiculous. You know, the hashtag Fire Spo people, you know, those people are living in a loony world, because the reality is, if Eric Spoelstra was a head coaching free agent today, there would be, you know, outside of maybe 5 or 6 franchises, they would all
– 5 teams they, would love to they, have Eric Spoelstra.
They would give everybody – all the power to the head coach, Eric Spoelstra. All the power. You want to be president? You want to be GM? What do you want to do? Here it is. We'll turn our franchise over to you, which is the direction I believe that he will be heading in post-Pat Riley, whenever that is. Like, Eric Spoelstra, I believe, will be given the power to do kind of whatever he wants to at some point down the line. But, Crowder, at the end of the day, I don't think he's been given asparagus. He hasn't been given filet mignon. He hasn't been given, you know, the, you know, what did Ryan and KC want to make nachos out of? Duck confit?
He has no duck confit.
He has no confit, but he also he hasn't been given dinosaur nuggets either. Like Andrew Wiggins, Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo should be enough to go. I was here, Crowder, when Rodney Magruder, Luke Babbitt, like that squad was starting games, and he was figuring out how to win games with them. You should figure out how to win games with Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo, Andrew Wiggins, Davion Mitchell, Khalil Ware, Duncan Robinson, Haywood Highsmith. Like, this isn't a title-contending team. I'm with everybody. But this is also not a team that should be falling off a cliff right now. And at some point, you kind of have to look at Coach Spo and say, hey, like, what's going on here? Why haven't you figured out how to, at the very least, win a game over this stretch of the season?
But, Solana, I've watched it where he puts the ball in Tyler Hero's hands and they isolate. And he'll do the – what's that high –
pick and
top
roll.
Top of the key, yeah, pick yeah. and roll with yeah. Bam. So you have Bam and Tyler in the pick and roll, and you have other guys standing there, and they execute the pick and roll, and he kicks it out, but he kicks it to Duncan, and he misses. Or he kicks it to Terry Rozier, who I don't think should take another shot for the Heat, and he misses. And so I've watched it, but then I've also watched OKC, where they let SGA bring the ball down, and he picks and rolls with that big goofy, the big dark goofy dude. And then he just drives and he gets to the line or he makes a free throw and one. I've watched it with Jason Tatum. I've watched it with Jason. I've watched it with SGA. I've watched it and, you know, Joker out there in Denver. He's just a different beast. He's stupid good. Like, but I've watched what those guys do. The Heat will get to the fourth quarter. It'll be a single-digit lead or deficit. And some dude takes over the game. And it's happened in this eight-game stretch. We started at five games. We talked about it. Now it's six games. Now it's seven games. Now it's eight games. Where is that fourth quarter guy? Where is he going to take over? I don't think Spo is creating bad offensive sets. I think that when Tyler gets the ball, he picks with Bam. Bam gets to the foul line and does his little hit, his little pump fake stuff. And he does kick it out where that should be an assist. And then whoever the hell's out there, Terry Rozier misses it. That's on Spo.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you, but I feel like yesterday I went into this. Hey, at the end of the day, I think we've learned as much as I love Tyler, as much as I love Bam, those guys aren't your 1-2. Like, they just can't be. Look at what's happening when it falls on their head. But also, Crowder, at some point, okay, that hasn't worked. Post Jimmy Butler, isn't it on the head coach to figure something else out? Because when the Dolphins lost Tua Tagovailoa and we saw a 4-week sample size without Tua, what was the thing I criticized McDaniel for most? Not being able to adjust, because the offense against the Seahawks looked like diarrhea. It looked like total diarrhea. And then the following week when they went, and I don't remember who they played the following week, it was like Seahawks, Titans on Monday Night Football, the Colts, and then the New England Patriots, which is the only game that they won, those four games. The following week, I think, was Titans Monday Night Football. You got beat by Mason Rudolph, and how did the offense look? Like, caca, again. And my biggest thing was, bro, where are the adjustments? How do you go week to week, and there's zero adjustments? And then you go play the Indianapolis Colts, and it's the exact same thing. And then you play the New England Patriots, and you win, but it was the exact same thing. So I'm going to criticize Mike McDaniel for lack of adjustments in times of peril. I got to keep the same energy with Eric Spoelstra, despite the fact that I think he's the greatest head coach in the NBA right now.
I think the two situations are different. I think the Heat, the Dolphins were set up. They were set up as a graceful team.
Yeah.
The whole thing, we go way back, and you reference this damn 70-point game against the Denver Broncos all the time. It's not going to happen again. It hasn't happened since. It's the second highest scoring offense in NFL history. 73 was the best. Like, that was one of those outliers. I set it up as our team was set up to be a graceful team. They call it a track meet. Tyreek's 4-3. Waddle's 4-3. Achan's 4-3. Now, Jalen Wright, he's 4-3. Like, we're a track meet team, and we have no pound in us. There's nothing that can pound the ball and get that yard you're talking about. And you're seeing with Detroit, you're seeing with the Eagles, you're seeing even with the Commanders. Like, now teams are starting to – I've said it. We said it on the show before. Teams are starting to get back. You have to have a little old school in you where you can whoop somebody's ass in the trenches. And I think that graceful 7-on-7 stuff is leaving the NFL. With the Heat, though, and this is what makes me upset, because as you see, I came on upset because I heard them talking about Spo today on TV. You want Spo to have Tyler, who is not a one, Bam, who's not a one, Tyler, who's really not a two, Bam, who I think can be a two if he has a dog. You want Spo to go in a meeting, Solana, and you love the Heat. You want Spo to go in a meeting and say, hey, guys, in the fourth quarter, we're about to give the ball to Pella Larsen. We're about to make Pella the fourth quarter dominant play. Solana, like,
yes, but I
look at these two teams differently, bro. I'm not gonna lie. You have set up a graceful team in the Dolphins, but you do not have the weapons with the Heat to be able to say, hey, okay, Bron ain't shooting right now. Wade can't get to the thing. Okay, CB, take over. Which CB could, and I wasn't even a huge fan of Chris Bosh. You don't have the, okay, hey, let's get it to Shaq down low. You can't do that. Who are you going to get it? Hey, Khalil Ware, go score 12 points in the fourth quarter. Khalil Ware hasn't scored 12 points in a game, and now you want him to get double digits in the fourth? It's not. It's a structural problem with the Heat. It's a roster problem with the Heat. With the Dolphins, it might be a culture problem or how we built the team problem. I can go into it with the Dolphins. With the Heat, we are shooting pea shooters. We got a 22, and the teams, Boston, the Cavs, the Nuggets, OKC. Now, hell, I got to say it, to be honest, I hate it, though. The damn Warriors, they have 12-gauge shotguns on their team, and we're throwing peanuts at a wall and thinking we're going to hurt somebody. Spo does not have a 12-gauge. There is no 12-gauge on this roster.
Yeah, and they need it. And I think the only way to get it, as we discussed yesterday, might be getting rid of one of the guys none of us want to get rid of. And we'll see. It's going to be an interesting offseason. There's still a lot left to play for, but we'll get back to that a little bit later on in the show. There's so much I want to get to with you today. Zach Gelb is going to join us in the next segment. You saw Aaron Rodgers. The Minnesota Vikings told them, "Hey, you know what? We're good. We're gonna ride with
we good.
Yeah, we're gonna ride with the guy we drafted number one overall. We're not gonna wait on your old ass to figure out, when your next ayahuasca trip is to figure out what your future is gonna be." Mike Cugno is gonna join us today. I want to talk to him a little bit about the tournament because CBS4 is doing like this big new rollout of the new studio. And they're really, like, leaning into the tournament. And I saw a video about Cugno, and I think who he's picking, Crowder. He's a Florida State Seminole. And you and Cugno might have a lot in common starting tomorrow at noon.
Yeah, I love it. Them Gators playing, boy. I told y'all yesterday, them Gators playing ball.
Yeah, everybody at my gym today was at the Alper JCC was like, oh, the Gators. I can't wait to see the Gators. I'm like, we'll see. We'll see. A lot of people picking the Gators. A lot of people. So Cugno will join us. Maybe Amy Otterbert is going to stop by as well. She'll be around the Kaseya Center. Who knows? Who knows who's going to stop by here? I am live today overlooking Pat Riley Court at the Kaseya Center. Who knows? Maybe Tommy Tighe, Crowder. Maybe Tommy Tighe will make the rare appearance here. So you can ask him once and for all. Do you hate working with Solana on the Heat pregame? Ask him once and for all.
Because he hates you. There's no way Tommy's coming to sit with you.
Don't forget, tomorrow's our Buckets and Bets event at the Hard Rock Stadium. It's this experience that we've set up. You're going to get to watch every single game throughout the tournament coming up, and it's going to be awesome. I'm telling you, Odyssey's Buckets and Bets event, it's going to be from March 20th to the 23rd. Dande, you're going to be out there live as well, right? Saturday. So tomorrow, Crowder and I, and Friday, 2 to 6 p.m. tomorrow, Friday. And then Dande is going to be doing the show live with Vlad, I believe, as well on on Saturday, and you'll be out there Sunday as well, right, Dan?
Yeah, Saturday pretty much all day, noon to about 5 o'clock, and then Sunday we're going to have a mix of guys like Joe Rose, Danny Rabinowitz, Joe Zagacki, and myself from noon to 4:45 leading up to the Heat game.
Yes. So I talked with OG Crowder. He's going to be there Friday. He's going to be hanging out. Lee Sterling is going to join us because why not have somebody who is an expert on the games? He'll join us Friday. Who knows? Who knows who else is going to stop by? So everybody from QAM will be out there. Basically, we're transforming the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood into the ultimate college basketball tip-off weekend. So there's going to be massive LED screens, beers. Bring your crew, and there's going to be real-time betting action. VIP tickets and packages are available right now at Ticketmaster. And just go to WQAM.com. It's offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 or over and physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem, call 1-888-ADMIT-IT. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino Hollywood, sponsored by Gunther Mazda. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Mazda. Dan Day, who's back in the studio along with Jimmy. Let's do headlines.
Hey, man, listen, I'm getting tweets already. Listen, I'm not letting y'all badmouth Spo.
Okay.
So all the – I done got 3, 4, 5. It's coming in. I'm not saying Spo is not in a – Spo is a top three coach in the NBA right
for
now.
Sure.
He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. If y'all are listening and want to tweet me, wasting your time for me to think that like, you're going to change my position on Spo. I'm not – I'm just – I just looked at while you're talking. I looked at my Twitter. I'm not changing my position on Spo. It's not going to happen. So y'all can stop tweeting me about Spo.
All right. I mean, we can get back to it a little bit later. Maybe we'll ask Mike Cunha about it as well. I just want to state my position here clearly. I'm not telling you this is on Spo because this is what ends up happening. Later you're going to be like, oh, Solana said that this is – yeah, I know. I'm stating my position very clearly. I'm not blaming this on Spo. I just think if this was happening anywhere else, if this was happening – I don't know. Who's really bad this year? With the Charlotte Hornets, right? Well, it is happening with the Charlotte Hornets. Who the Chicago Bulls. I feel like, you know, the Heat, Bulls, Hawks, we've all been in the same position. If the Bulls, who have the same record as the Heat right now, if the Bulls had lost 8 straight games at this point, you're telling me it's still Billy Donovan, right, Dan? Still Billy Donovan in Chicago?
I think so.
Yeah, Billy Donovan. You're telling me Billy Donovan, you know, people wouldn't be asking some questions, not in terms of his job, but just in terms of what the hell's going on at the wrong time. I think you kind of have to do the same thing with any head coach around the league.
But I understand you have to criticize. There's different levels. There's administration, there's coaching, and there's roster. But I don't know if I'm looking at it from the lens of seeing what the roster – the head coach and the administration have done, because I believe in Pat, I believe in Spo, and I've seen what the good rosters do. I've seen James Johnson and Deion Waiters. Spo can't do anything with that. Damn, Red Auerbach, they can't. Jerry West can't do anything with that. Like, I'm looking at it from that lens where I don't think you can. There is no play. Huh, Solana. When they stop in the fourth quarter and they're up by 17, then they're up by 15, then they're up by 11, then they're up by 9, then they're up by 7, what is Spo going to write on that damn whiteboard to make the bleeding stop?
Yeah.
Give the ball to Haysmith?
No.
Let's get Khalil Ware the ball. Let's see what Pella Larson has in the corner. Man, let's be honest. We watch the top team. We watched what the Lakers are struggling right now. When LeBron out, Luka can go crazy, triple doubles, and they get their ass whooped because they don't have LeBron anymore.
Yeah.
It's a talent league. More than anything else, the NBA is a talent league. That's why the players run it. That's why the players have more control. I really enjoy Bam Adebayo being on this team. I think Tyler Hero is very talented. They are not what the Celtics have or the Cavs have.
For sure.
Or
we're
the
learning
OKC
that.
Has
for sure.
Or the Lakers have. They're not what those teams have. And now you want Spo to take a stalk of asparagus and make it into a miso glazed sea bass. I can't make – Spo has to look and say, I can't make miso glazed sea bass out of asparagus. That's impossible.
One correction before we do headlines quickly here, Dan. Len did text me that I said our Buckets and Bets event is at Hard Rock Stadium if I did say that, I apologize. We're transforming Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood into the ultimate basketball tip-off weekend. So again, not the stadium, but Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. Tomorrow, Crowder and I, 2 to 6 p.m., and Friday we'll be out there. Let's do headlines quickly here, Dan.
Yep, and quick note, we're just trying to get Joe Zagacki and Joe Rose out there. Not 100% confirmed. We've got to get it confirmed with their people, but we're trying to get them out there.
I guess we all got text messages from from the boss.
Boss is listening. That's yes, what's sir. Important. Headlines are brought to you by Doral Kia. Choose from over 5,500 new Kia models in inventory. Sport at Sorrento and Telluride. Remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia. University of Miami holding its pro day today on campus. Cam Ward throwing to his receivers. And ESPN's Adam Schefter reports that there's a mounting consensus that the Miami quarterback will be taken first overall in next month's NFL draft.
Yeah, I want to talk with Zach Gelb about that coming up in the next segment, but you said it pretty clearly yesterday, Crowder. Cam Ward probably should go number one. If not, he's the first quarterback taken, even though you think Shador is going to be great.
Yeah, I think both of them would be good, but I really do. I've watched both of them in person. I've watched them on TV. I think Cam Ward is a superior quarterback to Shador Sanders, but Shador is not bad. Shador is he's not even a 1B. He's a 1A2. Like, he can play football, but Cam Ward has everything you want in a quarterback, and his maturity is off the charts. I love Cam Ward for an NFL team, which will be the damn Tennessee Titans. We know who has the first pick.
Speaking of our buckets and bets that will be at Hard Rock Casino, last night, the first four in the NCAA tournament, North Carolina defeated at San Diego State 95-68. Alabama State down St. Francis of Pennsylvania 70-68 tonight at 6:40. Mount St. Mary, who actually beat the U earlier this year, they take
yeah,
they on did. American. Yeah. And yeah. At 9 o'clock, you get Xavier and Texas.
Yes, sir. Everybody was upset about UNC, and then they go, they blow out San Diego State. I like it. I'll zag when everybody else is taking the same route here. I like them putting UNC in. Forget, it's a catastrophe, and hey, it's UN mother bleeping C, okay? It's fine. You want the Tar Heels in the tournament. Now they get a first-round matchup. You just got two games of UNC. Enough hating on UNC being in the tournament, okay? Really? Like, enough.
Who they play next? Are they about to get their ass whooped?
They'll play Ole Miss, a 6-seed next. SEC school that shouldn't be in the tournament either. All these stupid SEC schools that got put in the tournament. 14 SEC schools, that's 14 too many, if you ask me.
For Florida?
I've heard this. Why do people hate that we dominate in football and basketball?
Well, baseball, don't, but baseball. That's the thing. You don't dominate in football anymore. Oh. It's ridiculous. And here you go. You guys had one good season in basketball, and you want to act like you're a basketball conference, and you're just not. Like, enough with the SEC.
It hurts y'all that we – you know what? This is what NIL is going to do, because these folks got bread. Texas, yeah. Like, you have to think about it. Texas, Florida, Ole Miss, like, we have money. These people are rich. Acquire talent in the SEC. Now we can pay kids legally. Allegedly, I might have got me a couple checks back in the day. I don't know why y'all are so surprised about this.
That's pretty well documented. There's nothing allegedly about
we're running out of time. No. But let's just move
ahead.
On. We're moving on, Crowder. Crowder, time to stop. Weather from the Nemesman and Dover Law Firm, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24-7 at 866-954-MORE. Partly cloudy with temperatures in the high 70s and breezy throughout South Florida today.
There's a lot I want to get to today, but we have to take a break here. Zach Gelb is going to join us. Hawk is in London, but it's Crowder, Solana, Dande, and Jimmy. We'll take you up until 6. I'm live at the Kaseya Center. Zach Gelb joins us next.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Jimmy, what do you think about today's show so far?
It stinks.
Hawk and Crowder.
Zach Gelb joins us on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com. Zach Gelb is a national radio host for the Infinity Sports Network. Follow him on Twitter at Zach Gelb. Gelby, I'm wondering if you're surprised that the Minnesota Vikings told the ayahuasca taken old man who loves to stay in dark places, Aaron Rodgers, like, enough. We're tired of waiting for you. And they're riding with the rookie, J.J. McCarthy.
I think the characterization of that could be a little bit wrong, but I guess according to when I was listening, you've been getting a lot of things wrong today.
What happened?
Especially with the Hard Rock Stadium and all that other stuff. No, just I don't think that this is the – I don't think Aaron Rodgers was sitting there holding the Vikings in limbo. It was just where the Vikings actually interested. And the Vikings said, thanks, but no thanks. Like, we're out on ayahuasca, Aaron, and we're going to go with our young quarterback. So this, to me, is Aaron Rodgers' rejection, and this is Aaron being the desperate person that wanted to go to Minnesota, and the hot girl said no thank you to Aaron Rodgers.
Is Aaron really going to change? Like, now it's the Steelers, Gelby. That's like, we know what's going to happen. It's a one-year rental, whatever, with Aaron Rodgers. Is Aaron going to change something? Because if you look at his numbers from last year, they're not bad. But we all watch the Jets. You're in New York. You watch the Jets. It wasn't impressive. Is Aaron Rodgers changing a franchise?
No, not anymore. Like, could the Steelers get Aaron Rodgers and could they win a playoff game with him, which they haven't done since 2016? Yeah, I guess. So if that's considered a big change, I guess we could classify it that way. But I don't think we would regard it that way, especially when we're talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I don't think he's going to the Giants. The question just becomes, if he keeps on waiting and dragging his feet, do the Steelers kind of have the guts to just say, okay, we're going to roll it back with Russell Wilson. We're sick and tired of waiting for Aaron Rodgers. And quite frankly, I'd be good if he just retired. Like, I really like if it came out tomorrow that the Giants moved up to the number one overall pick to get Cam Ward and the Steelers just said, bleep this, we're going to rock and roll with Russell Wilson. I'm good. But like, I don't need to see any more Aaron Rodgers. He's not going to win another Super Bowl. We all know he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback, but he's someone that it's kind of crazy where you look back at his career and it's a top 10, top 15 quarterbacking career. But you look back at it and you go, got to one Super Bowl. And I like forget only winning one, but only got to one, especially how early in his career he did that. He was never able to get back to another one. That's the crazy part to me.
Yeah, and Gelb, that's interesting because I think at one point he wins that Super Bowl. We're talking about Aaron Rodgers, just like pure talent and expectations. We're talking about Aaron Rodgers He's going to end up being in the
Tom Brady
Manning,
range.
Tom Brady class. And
it's the thing
definitely
that frustrates
that.
Me the most. It's because people go, oh, well, he's the best quarterback I've ever seen. No, the best quarterback you've ever seen is Tom Brady. Sure, Aaron Rodgers may have the stronger arm. The accuracy may be better. But Brady was still able to kick your ass. And everyone says, oh, Brady doesn't have the strongest arm. He wasn't the most accurate quarterback in the world, you know, compared to some other guys. So Brady was working against all that and still kicked everybody's ass and still won seven championships in two different spots too. So the Brady-Rodgers stuff was the dumbest thing I've ever heard people say that, oh, Rodgers is good. You know, I'd rather have Rodgers over Brady. Nonsense.
Who would you rather have going into 2025? Tua Tagovailoa or Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, I thought you were going to say Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. I'd rather have Tua. Now, I'm not saying that that means Tua is the better quarterback, but it's almost like for Tua, there's still an unknown of when he's healthy, you know, how far can this go? Because the sample size in the postseason is still very small for him. For Aaron Rodgers, he's 42. I think they're – put it this way. If Tua Tagovailoa was on the Jets last year, Tua would have got banged up and he would have got hurt, but I thought he would have won more games than what Aaron Rodgers did, especially early on in the season.
And Gelby, talking about you saw brother Giants, the Titans, the Browns. We know the first picks of the draft that you know they all need a damn quarterback. Is what you've done, the people you've talked to, and you know you do national TV, so you national radio, you talk to everybody. Is the Shedeur Sanders hate warranted? And is he the better quarterback? Because, bro, I've watched all the Canes games last year. I go to every Canes game because I have a damn restaurant, shameless plug, in the Hard Rock Stadium for Canes games. And I went to Boulder and I watched Shedeur Sanders play. I really believe in my heart Cam Ward is a better football player than Shedeur. Where Shedeur can be good, I think Shedeur can lead a franchise. But it seems like there are some knocks against Shedeur that I don't think are warranted.
I think it's a lot of jackassery with the draft process. You know, anyone that's sitting there saying that Shedeur Sanders is going to fall in the draft, give me a break. I'm not saying he's generational. I'm not saying Cam Ward is generational either. But one way or another, Cam Ward's going to be the first overall pick of the draft. And Shedeur Sanders, if I'm Cleveland, I would take him at two. If Cleveland continues to be Cleveland and they don't make the right decision, then the Giants are in play at three. The farthest he's going to fall would be to six, because I still think the Raiders would be in line to gobble him up if you have the Browns and also the Giants pass up on him just because they got Geno Smith. That doesn't mean that they can't draft Shedeur Sanders. So at worst case, he's going six. But I think like some of the things that people were saying at the combine, that one dopey report that's like, oh, a quarterback coach in the top seven said he was brash and arrogant. Well, information for you. I want my quarterback to be brash and arrogant. If they're not an alpha, that's a damn problem. What do you want them to come in the room and be all respectful and shake everybody's hands and not have an opinion and have zero confidence? Stop that. That's something I don't want. So it was stupid what happened with Shedeur at the combine.
Yeah, so Gelb, it's funny because obviously down here in Miami, we got to see Cam Ward for an entire season, and all of us are sick. I said it yesterday, it's sick to my stomach whenever I think about it, that Cam Ward maybe had the greatest individual season of a Miami Hurricanes quarterback ever, and that's saying something, given a couple Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks at the U.
And you guys still couldn't make the playoffs.
And Mario Cristobal on the defense just pooped themselves and couldn't get into the playoffs, so it literally counted for nothing. But having said that, all of us think the world of Cam Ward. And I wonder if, from your perspective or from a national perspective, look, he's the surefire best quarterback in the draft. I think everybody agrees. But is he a franchise changer? You think the Titans are going Cam Ward for sure?
Here's what I know about Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. I think that they've made everyone else around them better. And even though neither played in the college football playoff, they did win more with less. It's not like Restrepo was a very good wide receiver for Miami. I know that, Shedeur had Travis Hunter, but the rest of the pieces around them were not the greatest pieces in the world. So I think that goes for something. I think right now both could be good. I don't know if both can be great, but so the other part of your question, I think for sure Cam Ward's going one. I just don't know if Tennessee's going to take him or if maybe – I don't think the Browns are going to trade up. If a team trades up, it could be the Giants. But if you put a gun to my head today, I would say Cam Ward 1 to Tennessee. You know what? Screw the gun to the head part. If I'm doing the drafting, here would be the first four picks for me. Cam Ward 1 to Tennessee, Shedeur 2 to Cleveland. Then in the third spot, I think that the Giants then should take Travis Hunter, and then the Patriots go Abdul Carter. That's what I would like to see happen.
Exactly what I had, Gelb. You and me, just on the same wavelength. Zach Gelb, a national radio host for the Infinity Sports Network.
Hey, I got a question.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you about your bracket that I saw you filled out on Twitter, Gelb, because,
Yeah.
Oh, no, because you went Duke and Florida. Oh, real original for a final, Duke and Florida.
It's nobody, all right.
Nobody has that,
You
Gelb.
Don't even care about college, but you're a basketball guy. You don't even care about college basketball because I heard the dopey things you said about the SEC earlier.
Oh, this SEC. Oh, basketball conference. Oh, we got 14 teams. I'll put money right now with either of you. No
Who
SEC.
Do you root for, by the way? Who's
FIU.
Your team?
FIU, pause
oh,
up, baby.
Yeah.
Pause up. FIU.
Yeah, pause up.
Panthers.
Yeah. The Panthers. They're the Panthers nobody cares about in Florida. We only care about the other Panthers.
Oh, yeah.
But you do a good job on the games, right?
Yeah, no, because the Temple Owls are really broadening their fan base.
Here's the difference between you and I. I'll tell you when my team sucks. You can't do so, all right? My team sucks. But I got my attention was caught by Channing's story. So who threw you the bag of cash back in the day, and how much was it, just wondering?
I got a couple different bags, Gelby, allegedly. I've learned, Gelb, if I say allegedly, then it's all fine. So,
well, it's
yeah.
past the statute of limitations. What, like, no offense, what are they going to do? They're going to vacate things for you going back to Florida? Who gives a rat's ass at this
point? Gelb, I told a story a couple years back about me selling my jersey when I was at Florida, and Trace Armstrong called me.
Really?
And was like, hey, man, take it easy on all that stuff. So, like, then I kind of panicked. I'm like, damn, Trace Armstrong called me. Yeah. I'm in trouble. Yeah, and now these damn kids have million-dollar deals. And I'm like, I can't tell a story from 20 years ago?
Here's the thing. Number one, I'm absolutely trying to get a headline out of Channing Crowder right now.
Well, that's already been a headline, Gelb. That's already been a headline.
I'm trying to get it again. Yeah. And number two, at this rate, Crowder, the NCAA needs you more than you need them. Like, let's be real. And with the pivot and all that stuff, they get more pop, you know, through you guys than they probably do on their own with the buffoons that run the NCAA.
Emmert.
Oh, Mark. Yeah.
his job is soon to end. But NCAA is going bad off, man. But the hate for the SEC in basketball, I don't get it. You heard Solana in the last segment. I do not get why people hate that once you can pay people, the SEC is going to take over, right? That's what we do.
Yeah, and it also levels the playing field more. But yeah, you guys are throwing bags of cashes, as you know, anyway, back in the day. So now you guys can do it legally. Wonderful.
Gail, by the way, when Crowder says, I told a story a couple years ago, that story was told when he first came on the air in 2010, when he was still an NFL player, which is why it was a national story, which is why it garnered headlines. Crowder, things are a little different now. And by the way, that was 15 years ago. I think statute of limitations are done.
Charlie Baker's giving you a call now, all right? let's be real. I think you'd be good.
I took some money.
How much?
Crowder, there's your there's our headline. There's the headline. Crowder took money.
How many strip clubs can we go to with all that cash that you got? Singles?
Yeah, we would have had us a good time.
Joe Rose, I know you got to go, Gelby, but Joe Rose said the other day when he was recruited by, I think, Cal. He went to Cal, right? That they, like, gave him a car and they slipped him $100. They left it in the cup holder in the car.
They dropped cash back in Joe's day? Jeez, that's $100.
$100.
They were bartering back then. They were trading off items.
Zach Gelb.
Horse and buggy, probably.
Zach Gelb, the pride of Temple. Listen to him afternoons on the Infinity Sports
Pause
Network.
Up, you know, real great. What am I going to say next? Owls, Hootie Hoot? Like,
all
come
right,
on, what
are we doing here? Hoo, Gelby. Thank you very much, Ben. Appreciate you.
You got it, guys. Be well. Hopefully we didn't Crowder in trouble.
Hopefully he
it's
is.
Over for me.
If we can get that
over
to go viral,
for me.
That'll be good. Help our ratings. Crowder, Solana, Jimmy, and Dan Day take you up until 6.
I
right here.
4. No, 6. I got money from, like, probably close to double-digit schools, 8
allegedly.
Or 9 schools.
Allegedly.
That, Dan, if you say allegedly, then nothing can happen bad. But
good.
Yeah, man, people will shoot you $4,000 or $5,000, no problem. That's nothing.
Allegedly.
Yeah, what a life you live, man. We are breaking news here on the Hockman and Crowder Show. Hock and Crowder Show. We'll take a break. More
on the
HC
shore.
Coming up next on the shore.
This is the Hock and Crowder Show.
Somebody texts in, how is it possible the most successful and famous person on the show does not know how to unmute their microphone or keep their teeth in?
I'll let Jesus take the wheel.
Hock and Crowder.